The book of Ephesians, chapter number 1. I'd like to take for our text, not only for this morning, but Lord willing for this evening also, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. There are times when I know you come into the Lord's house thinking perhaps upon your mind what kind of message you'd like to hear, thinking about themes that you would like to dwell upon, thinking about perhaps even favorite passages of Scripture you'd like to read or hear read or to hear preached. You might even come in thinking about things you don't want to hear or depths maybe you don't want to go to. Sometimes our minds are weary. Sometimes we are worn out. As we take Ephesians chapter 1 into consideration this morning, as you read through these verses, it is not a shallow passage of Scripture. If such a thing does exist, I don't know that it does, but this is definitely not it. And so we dive in here to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 1, and we want to consider this morning spiritual blessings from the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Praise God for such a powerful, such a deep, such an overwhelming passage of Scripture that he has set before us here this morning. Over the last few days, my heart and mind have been coming back to the subject of blessings, thinking about how that God does so freely and freely bestow upon us those things that bring happiness, bring joy, bring comfort, bring goodness into our lives. Truly, all things are of God. Truly, all things are through God. As we well know and understand, this chapter, as we have read it, and rather we should say this passage, as we have looked at it this morning, is one of those the most magnificent in all of Scripture. It touches on the heights and depths, the glories and splendors of our relationship with God. In fact, if everyone of God's children could receive the knowledge found in these 14 verses, there would be no doctrinal controversy, no misunderstanding. There would be no error concerning our relationship with God. There would be none of that because it spells out for us very clearly and very plainly our relationship with God. The content of this passage and the verses that we have read, the things that are presented herein can be broken down in many ways. We preached one time taking verse 7, 11, and I believe it's 13 as well, in looking at the phrase "in whom," talking about Christ. And certainly there are many other ways to break down this passage and to glean from what it has for us. But one constant that shines through the entirety of this passage of Scripture are the glorious blessings of God. The glorious, overwhelming, wonderful, the Almighty has given unto us, those great and awesome blessings that He has bestowed upon His people. Truly, blessings are the evident token of a loving God. They are an evident token that God desires to care for, that God loves, that God purposes to do good to His people. It is also not unlike that which you show your husband or your wife. You can tell them you love them until the end of time, but if you never show it to them, they'll never know. So you bless them. You bless them with tokens of your love, tokens of your affection, tokens of that which you are able to deliver to them to show that love. It might be emotional support. It might be tangible things like flowers or chocolate or whatever. It may be those kinds of things. But we know that we must give those tokens to show that love and affection. Well, God is the same. He gives blessings. They are the evident token of a loving God. He bestows His care, His thoughts, His providential care upon us. And that can be testified to by every saint, both in time and eternity. Every saint can tell you, can describe to you, can testify that God is not shy about bestowing His love and His blessings upon His people. Would you describe God as miserly today in the way that He bestows blessing, in the way that He delves out those evident tokens of His love, of His grace, of His mercy, of His care, of His adoration? Would you say that God does so with a restrained hand? No. But as God's people, we have felt, we have experienced, we have been the recipient of time and time and time again the blessings of God falling upon us. Every day of our life, we experience those things. In fact, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 68 and verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." He daily loadeth us with benefits or with blessings, as we have been talking about here this morning. God freely bestows upon His people. God, desiring to show His love and affection, gives those evident tokens to such the degree that none in the house this morning can claim to be absent these tokens. None can say that God's goodness and grace has not affected their lives. Because in general we would say that God's goodness, His grace, His benefits, and His blessings has affected all. We would say that these tokens of God's love and God's grace, the blessings that He has bestowed so liberally upon His people, that He delves out to show His love and His affection, can be divided into two categories. Now, certainly, if we were to break it down further, we could. But we divide these blessings that God bestows, these evident tokens of His love and affection upon His people, into two categories. The first being physical or temporal blessings, which include the great many things that God gives unto us each day for our lives to be continued. We well understand this morning that the reason why we are still alive is because God has seen fit to provide for our every physical need that we would be alive. Not just that we would be alive. If that were the only thing that God had done for us, we could be lying in a hospital bed on a ventilator. That is alive. But God has granted us health. He has granted us strength. He has granted us a desire. God has granted us not only health, strength, and a desire, but He's given us the ability to come into His house this morning. Not only has He done these four things, but He has also given us the opportunity in that He has saw fit to place this church here. He has saw fit to allow her to continue preaching the truth. He has saw fit to allow her to continue to meet openly and invite all to come and be part of the worship services. So God has worked in many ways. He has and does bless us physically. The things that we need for our lives to be continued, for our comfort, for our care, and even at times for our enjoyment, God does bestow blessings. Things like health, life, wealth, possessions, intellect, abilities, anything. And the way that we can categorize the blessings of God into these two divisions, as we are noting them this morning, is that if it is a physical blessing, it is a temporal one. Which means that it will fade with time. Everything that we have just mentioned will fade with time. Our health can be here today and gone tomorrow. Our wealth, our material things, here today, gone tomorrow. Even when we think about our relationships are not necessarily eternal. In a sense, they can be if we're both saved. We will know each other in heaven and there will be some depth of relationship there. But the relationships we have with people on this earth are a temporal thing. As we consider, you know, these things, God gives them to us and God also can take them away. Isn't that what Job said in Job chapter 1? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. And everything that Job was talking about were physical or temporal blessings that come and go in our lives. That is one category of blessing. Anything that will fade with time is a physical or a temporal blessing. The second category, and the one we will concern ourselves the most with today, the second category of the blessings of God are those that are spiritual or eternal. Those that are spiritual or eternal, and these would include all things that God bestows upon us that last for time and for eternity. These are not our food, our health. These are not our wealth or our possessions. These are not our homes and our cars. These are not our even relationships to a point. These are not even the wisdom that God gives us in this life to make decisions in those things. No, it is far deeper and greater than those blessings. These are eternal ones. Eternal tokens that evidence God's love and God's care, God's adoration for His people. So these two form the framework of God's blessing. Now if I were to say to you this morning, perhaps before we started pondering and considering the subject of blessings, name for me how God has blessed you this week, I can almost guarantee that 95% of you here this morning would have answered with a temporal blessing. Would have answered with, well, God has granted me health. Well, God has given me the ability to work. God has put food upon my table. God has, and fill in the blank. For the most part, when we count our blessings, like the song suggests that we do, we count physical or temporal blessings, do we not? We thank God for our cars and our homes. We thank God for our comforts. We thank God for our health. Or we count the blessings that are those things that would be considered physical. And to be sure, all of these things are great blessings from God. Food upon my table, again, is an evident token that God has an interest in my life. He cares for me. He cares for my family. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to live. He wants us to have strength that we would be able to serve Him in this life. And we should praise God for it, and we do. We bow our heads before we eat. We return thanks to God for that food because it is a blessing from God. I'm not saying at all that they are not or we should not or that we should discount them in any way. They should be part of the blessings that we count. But let us realize this morning that there are more to the blessings of God than just these. There are more to the blessings of God than just these. These are evident tokens of His love and care. I mean, think about it just in the physical for a moment before we move on to the spiritual. In order for there to be food on the table or in order for there to be a roof over our head, it is evidence not only that God has loved and delivered those things, but it is evidence that God has planned for our good, that His thoughts have been toward us and for us, and that He has planned and purposed and wrought through the details of life that which is needed to bring about that which will fill our needs. So when you go to eat your food, or you go to get in your car, or you go to lay your head down at night, it's not just that all of a sudden, bam, that appeared, and praise God for it. No, it's that God has been working on our behalf through time to bring us to that moment and to fill that need in ways that we can't even begin to imagine or understand. God has been working to do those things. We can relate it to the difference between giving charity to a stranger and providing for your own family. When you meet someone on the street who is in need, perhaps they're without a job or without home, and you feel a welling up inside of you of compassion to deliver unto that person a hot meal or a few dollars, whatever you may have, that feeling in that delivering to them of a blessing all happened within just a few moments. Before that time, you had no knowledge of them. You had no thought for their care. You had no understanding of what their need was or even who they were. After it's all said and done, you're going to go on your way and you're probably over the course of time going to forget who they are. So it was a response to an immediate need that welled up within you, a compassion that overwhelmed you to deliver to that person something, a blessing in that moment. Understand, this is not how God blesses His people. This is not how God blesses His people. It's not as if God all of a sudden notices, oh, he's got a need in his life, let me fill it, just like that. It is not a response in God of compassion just in the moment, but no. It is more like how it is when we are providing for our families. The difference between that and the stranger. When you meet the need of a stranger, it's passing, it's fleeting, it's momentary, and it takes very little thought. But when you're providing for your wife and your kids or your husband, when you're providing for those of your house, it's quite different, isn't it? You take thought. You plan and purpose. You try to look down the line and see, well, they're going to need some new clothes. They're going to need some supplies for school. They're going to need this and they're going to need that. And of course, we're going to have to go to the store because we're going to have to eat. And so you plan and you purpose and you design and you pray and you seek and you try to do good to your family. It's an effort, a concerted effort that shows your love, that shows your care, that shows your thoughts are toward them. Do you see the difference? That is how God delivers blessings unto His people. Right now, at this very moment, we are reaping the benefits and the blessings that God is bestowing upon us, not because this morning God just said, let me do something nice for them, but because throughout time God has been purposing and planning and bringing about what we would need in this very moment to provide for it. That is the love and care of God, and that is the evident token of His blessing upon us today. Luke 11:13 talks about fathers providing for their children, and then relating that to the Heavenly Father providing for us. In verse 13 it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? He says, a father, or you could think mother in this case as well, if they know how to provide, if they know how to give, if they know how to plan, if they know how to think, if they know how to show love and put that which is needed upon the table or upon the house for their family. Don't you understand that God is infinitely better? That's how God brings blessings into our life. We experience those daily benefits. And through careful examination of these daily benefits that He loads upon us, we also understand, in these physical blessings, we also understand that God does not bestow them upon all of us equally or in their entirety. Talking about physical blessings. He does not bestow physical blessings upon us all equally or in their entirety. What does that mean? It means that God, through purposes known only to Himself, He chooses to give one almost perfect health from the day they're born until the day that they die, but another has to struggle. Another has cancers. Another has arthritis. Another has difficulties throughout their life where they're in and out of hospitals and treatments and things. He blesses one with good health. He blesses one with just okay health. Another He might give great means to. He might allow to have some finances, some wealth, some means. And to another, their whole life, barely having two pennies to rub together. Now if you take these blessings and combine them, you'll see that to the one that He gives health for all of his days, He might also only give him two pennies to rub together. See, He doesn't bestow them equally, and He doesn't bestow all physical blessings upon all of His people. God judiciously distributes those blessings as He sees fit, as pleases Him, as it comes or as is regarding those physical blessings. But let us undertake for our time together here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, having laid that groundwork, having talked about the blessings of God and how that He bestows them upon us, thinking about the difference between physical and spiritual blessings, let us read again verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now when it comes to the spiritual blessings of God, He distributes those differently. You understand here that it says that He gives us all spiritual blessings. He's delivered them all to us. So unlike the physical blessings, God distributes to His people equally when it comes to the spiritual blessings that are going to be discovered in this passage of Scripture. He gives them to all of His people in their entirety. And that is a great blessing to see here in verse number 3. Now, as you look at verse number 3, who is the us? Who hath blessed us? We find that from verse number 1. Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians. But notice that he says also, the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He writes this first and foremost to the Ephesian church. But then we see through the preservation of God, through the providence of God, this is being delivered to us also. So the us in verse number 3 is not just the church at Ephesus, but it is this church here today, the saints of God presently living in this age. He says, I will deliver all spiritual blessings. Paul understood that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We understand that the spiritual blessings that are given to us are for time and eternity. They will not fade away. They will not just provide us with the ability to live and serve God in this time, but they will continue to provide for us for all of eternity, bestowed upon us. Bestowed upon us by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. All three parts of the Godhead seen in these 14 verses, bestowing blessings upon His people. Notice with us this morning, for our time together, the spiritual blessings of the Father. Lord willing, we'll notice the spiritual blessings of the Son and the Holy Spirit tonight. But this morning, the spiritual blessings of the Father, we see again here in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who? So Paul is going to talk about our Heavenly Father. He says, blessed be Him. In verse number 2, he had said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Again, pointing us to our Heavenly Father or God the Father. And then again in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Father that is the focus of this first portion of spiritual blessings that are relayed throughout these 14 verses. We notice, first of all, as we move from verse number 3 into verse number 4, it says that He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we need to understand, as we look at these three blessings that we are given from the Father, that these are not tangible things that we can touch. These are not tangible things that we can show on our bank account. These are not physical, touch-em-see-em things. They're far greater than that. I'm not demeaning at all the physical blessings we've mentioned already. I'm not putting down those things. But you know what? Job experienced in his life, those things can be taken away. These blessings that God, through the Father, is bestowing upon us can never be taken away. How glorious it is that God would think so much of us, and through His grace and mercy, He would put a little food upon our table. That food comes, that food goes, we enjoy it, we live off of it for a while, and then some more. But how much greater is it still that God would desire to do us good, not just in that moment of taking a meat, but would do us good for all of time and all of eternity. Notice here in verse number 4, the word according is, I believe, in correspondence to the blessings, the spiritual blessings. In other words, Paul says in verse 3, He's given us all spiritual blessings, verse 4, according, or in other words, He's saying, here is the pattern of them. Here is the pattern of them, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. The first spiritual blessing that the Father has bestowed upon us is that we are chosen. We are chosen. That is a spiritual blessing. Have you thanked God? Have you cried out in praise and thanksgiving to the Father for His choosing us unto salvation? We have been chosen, and that is a divine spiritual blessing. Out of the multitude of humanity, out of the sea of need, out of the sea of sin and depravity, having nothing to offer, having no good found within, the Father has chosen us. If you're saved here this morning, He has chosen us. Oh, the depth of that blessing is really beyond our comprehension. If you were to choose something this morning, and perhaps if I put out 5 apples here in the front, and I said, come and choose you one, everyone here would have a different criteria on which one they would choose. Some would look for a red one. Some would want a green one. Some would look for one that was smaller. Some would want the biggest one. Some would look for the one that was shiniest. Others would look for the one that was the dullest because they think it might wouldn't have the wax and all that other stuff on it. So we would all have some kind of different parameter to choose. But every one of us would be looking for good, wouldn't we? We'd set out and we would look and try to determine from our own parameters which was the best apple, which would taste the best, which would crunch the best, which would feel the best, which would fill us the best. We would all look for good. But you know what? When God, in His divine choosing the Father, when He has bestowed the spiritual blessing of choosing us, He had no good to find within us, did He? No good whatsoever. He could not look upon us and say, that one's good. I want that one. We had nothing to offer. There was no good found within us. To choose is an act of the will, deciding on a course of action that will affect a certain group of people. This word is synonymous with the word elect. So in other words, the Father has, of His own purposes, from eternity determined to save a definite number of people as individuals, not because of the merit that they had or any worth or value of their own or to Him, but simply because of His own good pleasure. Notice in verse number 4, according as He hath chosen us, and then we skip down to the last two words of verse number 4, in love. The Father hath chosen us in love. in love. He didn't choose an apple because it was good, but He chose because He loves us. He loves His people. We often say, I don't know why He chose me, but of course we do. He chose us because He loves us. Ask me why He loves me, and then you have a real problem. Because there is nothing lovely within me whatsoever. But the spiritual blessing bestowed upon us by the Father is that He chose us. Long before the foundation of the world, the Father hath chosen us, hath elected us, hath appointed us unto salvation. This is a true spiritual gift because it cannot be earned. It cannot be gotten by means. It cannot be undertaken to win by value or of any other good. But He has chosen us in Christ, as it says at the end of verse number 4, that we should be holy and without blame. That we should be holy and without blame. Bless God today for the spiritual blessing of being chosen, that unlike our health, unlike our wealth, unlike the food upon our table, unlike the love of a friend, unlike the life of our children, our spouse, it cannot be taken away. Even if all those other things are gone from you today, if you are a child of God, just like Job experienced, all those things were gone, and it was hard for him to deal with. But yet, he was still chosen of the Father. He was still loved of the Father. And though the temporal blessings flee away, the spiritual ones remain. Oh, what a joy it is today to be known, or to know that we are chosen of God. And truly, Paul is praising God for that choosing us, or the Father rather, for that choosing of us. Without this choice, we would have no hope of salvation. Only hell would await. There would be nothing for us in the future. But bless God today for the spiritual blessing of being chosen. He hath chosen us in Him. Chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Sometimes people have trouble thinking about this. But this choice took place before the world was ever formed. Before the sands of time ever began to flee away. Before man could ever sin, God chose to save those He would. Before any could do good, before any could do evil, before any could prove any value or worth, before any could do any of those things to complicate the issue, He chose. He chose. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. The elect of God according to the foreknowledge of God. Romans chapter 9 verses 11 through 14 talks about God choosing and loving Jacob but hating Esau and leaving him in his unregenerate state. And we often say, and this may be used more often, but it still is the case, how that many will cry a foul. How could God hate Esau? How could He hate him? That doesn't sound like God. Well, God hates sin. God hates sinners. Tells us that through Scripture. Those that do the works of evil, God hates. And He has His wrath abiding for. And so it is not really, as you look at Scripture, that's shocking that God hated Esau. Esau, as we find throughout Scripture, as we see, was a depraved human being, just like every other human being that's ever entered into this world. But what is shocking, what is overwhelming, what is beyond our comprehension, rather, is that God could love Jacob. And Jacob was a scoundrel. Jacob supplanted his brother. Jacob lied to his father. Jacob did so many things through his life. And yet God loved him. Not because he did good or because he was better than Esau, but because he loved the one and hated the other. But go back to Ephesians 1 if you turned away from there. We see the second spiritual blessing that the Father has bestowed upon His people this morning. Not only has He chosen us unto salvation, not only has He chosen us in love or because of love, we see in verse number 5 that we have been adopted, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Having predestinated us, there's the us again. Such a definite group of people. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We are chosen and we are adopted. That is a spiritual blessing of God that cannot be taken away. God could have simply chosen us unto salvation and left us on our own. God could have simply provided for our needs and left us where we were. God could have done any number of things. However, the Father was not willing to do so after bestowing upon us the glorious blessing of being chosen. He further bestows upon us the blessing of being adopted into His family. Adopted into the Father's family. We see that Paul understood this because he said, God our Father and God the Father of Jesus Christ. He realized that we were all adopted into the family of God, those that have been saved. We could have remained bastards. We did not have to be made sons and daughters. We did not have to be brought into the family. It makes you think about why people adopt. Sometimes people adopt because they can't have children. This wasn't the motivation for God. He had an only begotten Son, didn't He? We know that He did. John 3:16 tells us so, that He had an only begotten Son that He sent to this earth, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He had a Son. So it's not motivated out of place of need because He was without a Son. Some do it, not only because they don't have a Son, but some do it more generally because they don't have an heir. They don't have someone to carry on their name. They don't have someone to leave things to. And so they desire to adopt, that they could have someone with their name. But this again was not so. We see that He had Jesus Christ as the heir of all things. There was no worth in us, no good at all, no merit, no upside in making us His child. Just think about that. As you can picture yourself adopting a child and you think in your mind, you love this child, you've met this child, you want to make him part of your family. Not only are we going to raise him and treat him right and be a blessing to him, but this child is going to be a blessing to our family. It's going to be a blessing to me. There's good in this child, no doubt, as far as those things go. I'm talking humanly here. But as God looks upon us, there was no upside. There was no saying, I need this child because. I need this child because of his heritage, or because of his lineage, or because of his abilities, because of his talents. Oh no, none of that. There was no good within us. He did not just desire to save us as by fire from hell. I mean, if that's all that this is about, is a fire escape from hell, then much of the Bible is worthless. There's a whole lot of it that's pointless. If all that God desired to do was to be a fire escape from hell so that we wouldn't go there. Now, those that are saved, His elect, those that Christ died for, truly, they're not going to hell. That's part of the glorious blessing. But yet we know there is so much more. God chose us and then He adopted us into His family. He didn't do it because He needed a son. He didn't do it because He needed an heir. He didn't do it because there was some ability within us as a child that would bless and please His family. But in verse number 5, it tells us that He did it according to the good pleasure of His will. The best reason that we can say that God made us a part of His family is because it pleased Him to do so. Paul said that in Galatians chapter 1, I think it's verse 15, where he says, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. It pleased God to make me a part, to make you a part of His family. instead of leaving us in the fields of the fatherless, instead of leaving us to our own devices, God has bestowed upon us the evident token, the spiritual blessing of being made part of His family. And you know what? He bestows that upon all of those that have been chosen. Everyone. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if they're black or white. Doesn't matter if they're African or Asian or American. It doesn't matter who they are or where they are. God bestows this spiritual blessing on all of His children fully. He makes us all part of His family. That ought to rejoice our heart to think about this morning. There is a great blessing to us to be part of the family of God. We have a spiritual heavenly Father that we can pray to, that takes care of us, that provides for us. We have a daddy, as it says in, just turn over to Romans 8. Romans chapter number 8. This word is also found in Galatians 4, but we'll read from Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Praise God for that reality. Praise God for that not only reality, but for that promise. For that being guaranteed. That if we are saved, if we are not going to hell anymore because we believe and trust in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, He says, we are presently, right now, at this moment, the sons of God, and that will continue through eternity. Nobody can ever take that away. It's an eternal blessing. Nobody can. Job was still the son of God, even though he lost it all. Even though his wife turned on him, even though his flesh turned on him, even though his friends were miserable comforters, even though he was in a dark and dreary place, he was still a child of God, and God treated him like that. In fact, at the end of Job's experience, God takes him through a discussion where God does all the talking, and he says to Job, I have created all of these things. Where were you? All of these physical things in this world, I have made. All of these things I keep in order. All of these things I am sovereign and in control of. And basically he was telling Job, I made them. I gave them to you. I took them away. But Job understood, I believe, by the end of the experience that he had, that even though they're taken away, God can give them back again. But what never left was that he was the Son of God. He was part of that family. And that is why we call each other brothers and sisters. Of course, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. We have been adopted into the family of God. Now, I don't have any experience with this. The Lord has blessed us with plenty of children who have to worry about adopting. But from what I understand, that when you adopt a child, it is nearly impossible, once that happens, even under our laws and our society, to sever that relationship. In other words, once that adoption is finalized, becomes legal, they are your child, they are your responsibility, that you cannot decide the next day, I don't want to be responsible for them, I don't want them to be part of my family. No matter what they do, no matter what happens, they are yours. It's the same with God. We are made part of His family. And that ought to give us great confidence to live in this world. It ought to put a smile on our face, greater than the food on the table, or the health we have and are able to walk around, or the house, or the car, or the money in our pocket. We ought to have a smile on our face because God has chosen us. and God has adopted us into His family. He has said they're worthless, they're depraved, they're wicked, they're sinners, they're vile, they're wretched, there's nothing good found within them, there is nothing in them that would make them seek me or desire me. In fact, they fight against me, but you know what? I love Him and I want Him to be part of my family. That's God. And that's what He's done for us. That's a spiritual blessing today. I mean, when we say count our blessings, let's count our blessings. Let's really get to the depth of what God has done for us. And go forward today counting our blessings from Him. But that is not all. Go back to Ephesians in chapter 1. We'll see one more and conclude our time together this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, we are chosen. Verse 5, we are adopted. Then we see in verse number 6, the next spiritual blessing. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are chosen, we are adopted, and the third spiritual blessing bestowed upon us by the Father is that we are accepted. We are accepted of Him. Even after being chosen and after being adopted, we still needed to be made acceptable in His sight. We still needed to be made to where we could be in His presence. And that can only be done, of course, through Jesus Christ, whom we'll focus more on tonight. He has made us acceptable to Himself in Christ, His beloved. That's what this verse is saying. Wherein He hath made us accepted. Accepted of who? Accepted of Himself. Accepted of His righteous, holy standards. Accepted of His perfect law and expectations. Accepted of that which He desires and that which He is. Accepted. In other words, for God to look upon you and say, yes, I accept you for who you are. But not in themselves. What does it say? He made us accepted in the Beloved. A lot of people get this wrong. A lot of people read this verse, songs are written about it, and they believe that it's saying that God has made us accepted and a part of the beloved, which they think are the saved, or they think is the family of God. We've already covered adoption. That's not what this is saying. Family is in verse 5. Verse number 6, the beloved is Jesus Christ. He has made us accepted in Christ, who is His beloved Son, Matthew 3 says, in whom He is well pleased. If you need further evidence in verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. In whom? The whom there is the beloved. We are made acceptable to God the Father by Christ. He chose us knowing that we were sinners. He brought us into His family knowing that we were depraved, knowing that we were scoundrels, knowing that we are unrighteous, unholy. But bestows upon us the spiritual blessing of being accepted in the blood of Christ. Imagine that. Is there a greater spiritual blessing in the world today or any blessing you can think of? If you found $1 million in your bank account tomorrow, no strings attached, given to you from an anonymous source, no issues, it's all yours, clean as could be, you would think that was the greatest blessing you ever received. You know what? The next day, all that money could be gone. Leave you worse off than when you started. But this blessing that we're talking about here, the fact that God the Father can look upon me and upon you if you're saved here today and say, I accept Him. I accept her into my house or into my family, into my presence. I accept who they are. Not because of themselves, but again, because of Jesus Christ. This is why we say when the Father looks upon His children, He sees His Son. Because we've been made acceptable to Him in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We have these great spiritual blessings today. We have been chosen. We have been adopted. We have been accepted by God. What in this life could happen to us that would take those things away? Nothing at all. And though we might die, lose our health and die, though our life, it is a temporal blessing, isn't it? It might end. What do we find? This eternal blessing continues. We have some conception of what eternity means from this moment. We picture it as never dying. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's how we picture it. What is impossible for us to understand is that not only have we been chosen, not only have we been adopted, not only have we been accepted, you know, from now until no end in sight throughout the ages of eternity. But think about that the other direction. We have been chosen. We have been adopted. We have been accepted before the foundation of the world. If you believe eternal one direction, you have to believe it the other direction as far as time is concerned, or else it's not eternal. These blessings have always been, they always will be. There is nothing that will cause them to change. Let's conclude this morning with 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Truly, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by the Father through Jesus Christ. We have been. There is no doubt about that in my mind. We should, like Paul, respond to this great reality and truth by blessing God. By blessing God in word, in song, in action, in testimony. We should bless God in the things that we do and how we act, our actions and our attitudes. Because He's given us these spiritual blessings. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. And notice this phrase in verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. All things are for your sakes. Just let that sink in. This is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this is God speaking to us, saying all things, all spiritual blessings are given. They are given for you. They are given for your sakes. I have done this for you because I love you, because it pleases me to do it. Oh, how shallow we can think sometimes about our God and our relationship with God. How much depth there is that we leave undiscovered. But yet today He says all things are for your sakes. And while we know that the end result or the motivation for anything that God does is His honor and His glory, we understand that in having that, as we see even in verse number 15, that He does good to His people. These evident tokens that we have of God's goodness, His grace, His mercy, and His love. If all we had were the physical to prove to us of the blessing of God, then when those physical or temporal blessings were gone, what would we do? We would doubt that God ever loved us. We would doubt that He cared for us. We would doubt our relationship with Him. But those things are just the extras. Those things are just the icing on the cake. Those things are just the things that God does because He can, because He's God. But think about these in particular spiritual blessings this morning, that God has chosen us, He has adopted us, and He has accepted us. And that will never fade away. That will never change. Praise God for that today. Let's stand.